Powered by DTM Wicked Radio. You're listening to Close to Death with host Selena Ron of Fear Paranormal. All things para, all the time. All the time. How close will you get?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us with Close to Death. I'm your host, Selena Rohn. Tonight, we have Veruca Dulce. She is a model, a newly published author, a cigar angel, and many other things besides a world traveler, and a pretty awesome on-the-fly nurse. Veruca, what's going on, girl?
Hey, I'm actually down in California today. I'm super excited. I flew in this morning to do a body painting shoot.
Wow, that is awesome. So you're in Cali right now, huh?
I am. They flew me down to Orange County, and then tomorrow they're going to paint me in a Candyland theme.
All righty, then.
It's perfect, right? I'm so excited.
That sounds very exciting, actually, and I'm sure your followers will love that. So I wonder what kind of candy you're going to end up being painted like.
Oh, goodness, I have no idea. I mean, at first we were going to do this big cotton candy themed, like, big hair and stuff, and then they called me today, and now they're actually doing hair extensions, and so I'm going to keep my natural red hair, plus it'll be much, much longer, so I'm not even sure. And the body painter was like, do you trust me? I'm like, I do. And he goes, okay, then I'll see you tomorrow.
Wow.
And he's not going to tell me anything. I'm walking into this blind. I had a plan. Now I don't know. It'll be fine.
You'll be great at it. But just so everybody knows, Veruca is friends with some friends of mine, and we actually were kind of, it wasn't a blind what you would call a date, but it was a blind cabin mate type thing. We didn't know exactly who each other was when we got on the Spirit Cruise, but it ended up working out really well, and we ended up being friends. And thanks for taking care of me when I almost died with the flu. Just wanted to say thanks
yeah,
for that.
No, oh, my gosh, it's not even a problem. No, I mean, that's what a good person would do, so not a problem.
Right? When somebody's laying there dying, and she, you know, she like made sure I was like hydrated and do you need anything, and it was really cool. But so, you know, I thought about giving the cruise another shot, but I'm just like not really sure still. I was like, yeah, I don't know. But so tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I mean, just a little bit, if you can.
Yeah, no, I have so many words. So I am Veruca. My birthday is coming up. I'm about to be 27, so that's super exciting. I've been modeling for a little bit over a year. I started modeling, I got serious about modeling in March of last year, so just a little bit over a year. I've had the opportunity to travel a ton. I just recently came out with a sort of silly coffee table book based on issues that directly affect my life. And then, goodness, yeah, I've been to the Dominican Republic twice now to learn how to hand roll cigars with Broadway Cigar Company, located out of Northwest Portland, and the Cigar Angel, which is a cigar promo group that I work with. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff going on.
You have been all over the place. I mean, when you were telling me all the places that you've been, and I myself am 47, of course you knew that, because I'm sitting there talking about planning my 30-year reunion. You're like, huh. You weren't even born then, so, yeah, I said hush, young thing. But you've been so many places, and the thing that really stuck out with me regarding you is that I meet a lot of people your age, and they really have no effing clue what the hell they're doing or what they're going to do, and you are so set in knowing what you want, and you go get it. You don't sit on your ass and wait for it to happen or bitch and complain. You just make it happen, and I thought that was pretty admirable because I
Thank
don't
you.
See a whole lot of that, you know, for people your age. Seriously, I don't.
No, not at all. And I honestly think, I don't know, I think that the generation after mine is even worse off, and the one following that is even further in the negative. But, yeah, I don't know. I've always just been a person that's kind of make a way, find a way. My dad was very sink or swim in my upbringing. So either I figured it out or I failed, and I was not about to fail. So I've been definitely fortunate with a lot of my opportunities, but it's one of those things where the harder I work, the luckier I become. And so it's definitely not always just, oh, you're so lucky. Like, no, every day I wake up with a positive attitude, and I know that I need to do certain things to make certain things happen. Like, things just aren't going to fall in my life. And if you want something, then a lot of times you're going to have to work really hard to get it. So it's really like I'm no more fortunate than anyone else. I'm just willing to work hard enough to make it seem like I'm just super lucky all the time.
No, well, you're driven. That's the key word, is that you're driven. And you don't let shit, like, bog you down. I mean, if something starts to weigh you down, you're like, yeah, you're not working for me. This ain't working for me. I got to move on because my goal is to do this, that, and the other. And if I can't reach that in this space, then I need to move on to a new space. And you were that driven. And I think that really, it kind of, you know, kind of made me like, wow, shit. That's pretty badass right there, you know, for somebody that's 26, 27, you know, usually wouldn't give a damn, you know, like they'll worry about that later. And you're like, you know, only boring people are bored. And I think that stuck with me too when I saw that post, you know, because you never, when you were going and blowing on that spirit, on the spirit cruise, I'm telling you people, this woman can look like $1 million in less than 10 minutes. And I'm like, how in the hell can she do that? She can go from, not that you looked bad in a swimsuit or anything, but when you come back and you get ready and you do your hair and you put a dress and high heels on and you can do it within 20 minutes, I've never seen a female be able to do that before. Just saying. So that amazed me too. I was like, I even come home and told my girl, I was like, damn, she could, like, get ready in, like, 20 minutes flat, dude. I mean, I've never seen a female do that. I've always had to wait for an hour for somebody to get ready. And I'm like, jeez, how can she do that?
Well, so I think it's partially
– it all the time.
Well, yeah, I have to do it all the time. Or luckily I work with a team of people that also do my hair and makeup, and I am so appreciative for them because – hair-wise, I don't even know what's happening with that. So, but I think it's a big part of, what I do. So I've had to learn how to do it and learn how to do it quickly just to kind of optimize my time. And then also, I want to wake up and look nice, but I also really like sleep. And I'm always on a deadline. And so it's like, if I can sleep as long as possible and then get ready, roll in 20 minutes, and then still be on time, I mean, then I get everything. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do right now. I'm literally trying to have it all. And, like, so far, so good.
Yeah, you are, like, you're kind of like, people say I'm all over the place. No, you really are all over the place. Because, I mean, when we got back from the cruise, and the cruise consisted of three different stops, which we'll get to that in a little bit, because we're going to talk a little bit about paranormal. But, you know, you went from the cruise to then you came home and then you went to, where, Australia or something like that, and you stopped over in Hawaii or some crap. I mean, your life is just so rough. You know, I feel for you really bad. But so is that where you went?
No, it was. That's completely accurate. So February was a really intense month for me anyway, because in January I was like, I'm 100% serious. I'm going to stay local for all of January, and I'm going to really, you know, nose to the grindstone. I'm going to get a lot of local business done. And then my Cigar Angel, cigar rolling company, contacted me, and they're like, hey, so we need you to fly out January 28th. And I'm like, well, I almost made it. I almost made it a whole month without, like, leaving state or country. And so January 28th until about the 10th, I think I got back, 10th or 11th, I was in the Dominican Republic, and then I flew home for about 3 days, and then I flew out to Louisiana and then did the cruise and went to the Grand Cayman Islands, Jamaica, Cozumel, Mexico, flew back to Louisiana, had about 4 days, and then flew back to Portland, Oregon, had about 4 days home again, and then flew to Hawaii for the first day, and then a week in Australia, and then Hawaii on my day back. And then that was like midway through March already. Like, I spent a little over a month just go. And I'm happy to be home now. I mean, obviously, currently I'm in California, so I'm still traveling, but
yeah, you're not that far from home though. I have to say, when I came up there just recently, and we were go because we were going to that convention that was 2 hours away from Portland, but it was it was a lot of fun. I just wish I'd had more downtime in Portland to hang out, because we did get to hang out a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit later too. I want to get to the part where we went into Jamaica, and because you're kind of the first guest that I've ever had on that's not full-fledged all the way a paranormal investigator, researcher, all about the paranormal. And you went on the cruise because you thought a lot of the girls from the Vixens were going to be on there, and then a lot of them decide, well, something happened here and something happened there, so a lot of them couldn't make it. And you ended up going on an excursion to the Rose Hall, and I wanted to kind of get into talking about that because you got to hang out with Brian Kano, which he's cool as hell.
He's adorable. Now, one of my favorite people.
I know, right? He's so cool. I mean, he's just all over the place. But tell me about the whole experience from, like, the get-go at Rose Hall.
Yeah, so Rose Hall. Rose Hall is absolutely stunning. It's a plantation that just a lot of, you know, kind of paranormal happenstance has gone down. So the woman who used to be, like, the woman of the house mysteriously had several husbands die. They were all linked back to her, had quite a few of her workers pass away, members of the workers' families, and then she was ultimately murdered by one of her lovers, once the lover's family and whatnot, and I think the gentleman kind of figured out that his girlfriend was responsible for all of these deaths, which obviously would be jarring. So it was a beautiful plantation, and you go inside this very large home, and on the second floor, there's actually a balcony, and the balcony is where the woman who was the another former woman of the home and, like, just kind of running things, she had a heart attack and passed away on that balcony, and then there were, I think, a few instances where people plunged to their deaths on the balcony. It was just, like, a really sketchy area, so I have a picture of me from the back, and it's this beautiful artistic angle. One of the girls from the cruise actually took it, where I'm standing on that balcony, kind of just testing it, kind of just seeing, like, if I was going to, you know, have the same fate, and turns out I didn't. I'm obviously alive and well, but the one room, like, each bedroom, they kind of went through. The one of her husbands was stabbed to death. Another one of her husbands got poisoned. I don't remember, I want to say the last one was, like, smothered or something of that nature, but she just, you know, she got a little bit more violent each time. And when I walked into her room, what turned out to be her room, and, like, meanwhile, I'm kind of going ahead of the tour, and so I'm not hearing everything. I'm kind of off on my own, you know, as I do, it seems. And so I ended up in her room, and I'm looking around, and it's like, I'm just, like, I'm so overwhelmed by, like, this strong, just passionate feeling about this room. And I'm like, I love this room. And I'm like, this room is beautiful. Like, I just couldn't get over how stunning, I mean, all of, like, the bed was. And then there was this fainting couch that I was just so engrossed with. I thought it was fantastic. And so the woman, the tour guide, finally follows me in, and she's telling me all about everything. She's like, oh, yeah, you know, this was actually her house. And this was actually, like, her personal bedroom, and this is what happened here, and this and the other. And so then they go to the little fainting couch area that I was just in love with, and she goes, yes, but anytime her husband would come to her, or she and, like, you know, be angry with her or something, she would throw herself on this couch and just kind of play this victim of, oh, poor me. And especially if she wanted attention from one of her husbands, she would, like, thrust herself against this couch, and her husband would be like, oh, no, you're feeling faint. Let me attend you and care you. And I was like, of course, I would closely connect with the murderer's bedroom, and my favorite thing would be the item that she used to gain attention from men. Of course. Why would that not be?
do you feel like you have like abilities though? So when you walked in, I mean, you've never really like looked into even having abilities or anything like that, right?
I've never looked into it, but I definitely felt something like a really close connection with that room, and then like just certain pieces of furniture in general, and then to find out that it was like her favorite item and what she used it for and whatnot. That was kind of overwhelming. It was just different parts. Like you would go into certain rooms and it was almost like you realized you stopped breathing. Or at least I did.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I didn't realize. I was like, oh goodness. And I was like, this is intense. Like you just kind of felt like an anxious, nervous energy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm generally pretty astute and pretty in tune with things. So I'd like to think that I picked up on something.
Well, you know, you were telling me about, you know, cause I didn't go to that excursion. I just didn't feel like, you know, really feel like doing much of anything. So the beach excursion that I had purchased was probably all I could do, and it was probably good because I knew that y'all were burning up hot and I was already running fever, so it probably wouldn't have mixed real well. But, you know, when you came back, you were telling me about that sitting, you know, chaise lounge or whatever you call it, and that, you know, it was just like this thing that you were just drawn to and how beautiful it was in the room, and you were telling me all that. You know, and I mean, I know that you're not like a huge paranormal enthusiast or whatever. I mean, but you believe. Is that right? I mean, you do believe.
Oh,
okay.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. My family's had several instances that are very paranormal related just in their own home. So no, I definitely believe in that. I was brought up in a household where it was kind of one of those things that you're like, no, you can believe in whatever you want. And if you think this is a real thing, and it's like my dad believes and my mom does and my little brother has seen things. And so I definitely think that all of us are really in tune with it.
Well, that's cool. I mean, what do you think about, and I ask pretty much all my guests because I like to get their stance on different things. And what do you think about reincarnation? Do you think that's a thing?
Oh, completely.
Like, okay. All right. Cool.
There's so many times that I'll like know something that I'm like, there's literally no reason that I should have any idea about this. Or like I'll travel because I do travel pretty often. I'll travel to a certain area and I'll be like, I've been here before. Like I just get this feeling that I'm like, why? Like when I went to Paris and I'm like, I've been here, and I'm like, and there's literally no way that I've ever been to Paris. Like it was my first time. I picked it based off the fact that I had never been there. And so I showed up, and it was just certain parts of me. Like, it almost feels like you're connected. It almost feels like part of your soul is home.
Right, yeah, and I know that feeling because I felt that same way in this place called the Minger Hotel in San Antonio. And I was there for a convention, and I had never been there before, ever. And I walk in, and the whole ambiance, the music, everything, it was so strange. It was like I was walking back in time. And I had done that walk a million times. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. You know what I mean? Like, there was no reason or rhyme for it. It was just strange. And deja vu, I used to have when I was a kid. I mean, have you had experiences like that all your life? I mean, did you have, like, an imaginary friend or anything like that, as they used to say it was?
Yeah, I mean, I've had deja vu quite often. Like, I can remember especially one time in college where it was like, I was walking, and I had never been there before, like, I've never done this exact, you know, but it was, like, step by step, like, it was almost like a movie playing back in my head where I'm, like, I've done this, I know I've done this, and it was, like, I was walking towards, and I was, like, grabbing the rose water, and it was just, like, I turned around, and the second that I saw how everything was just framed and set up, I was, like, I've already done this, and then I turned around, and I was even, based on my deja vu, like, the full sequence of events, I was even able to tell the girl, like, in how many grams the egg yolks and stuff were going away for my culinary class. And I'm
wow.
like, I've done this. I'm like, I've already been here. And it was just such a weird feeling. But, like, I take that as that I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, it's kind of just like a stepping
yeah.
stone, like a save point in a video game where you're like, okay, this is my checkpoint. I know that I'm on the right
yeah.
path. And
yeah.
I was like, this makes
That's
sense.
That's a pretty
and
good way of saying it, because – Go ahead.
That is how it makes sense to me. And as far as the imaginary friend, yeah, I used to have an imaginary friend named Mike the Monster. And I told my parents that he was doing all these things. And, like, my parents would be like, oh, you know, she's just, she's the one knocking over the juice, or she's the one doing blah, blah, blah. But then my parents said that some of the things that I was claiming Mike the Monster had done was doing at, like, 3 and 4 years old, there's no way. Like, it was way higher than my reach. It was something that I wouldn't have even known was in the house. Like, it was just, like, really weird stuff. Yeah.
So you were tattling on a ghost, or they were, actually, they were blaming you for some shit a spirit was doing, and then they figured out, holy crap.
this is impossible for her to do. Yeah, and then this is, like, completely out of a child's wheelhouse. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So, you know, that whole experience was really cool. And then on one of the other stops, didn't you go to a haunted restaurant or something like that? I mean, how was all that? Okay.
When we were
I missed out on that one, too.
You were sick a lot. It was sad.
I know.
I'm glad you're feeling better now, though.
Me, too, though. Me, too.
Well,
but how was that?
Was it
really as haunted as they had claimed, or not as bad?
I want to say that possibly, I don't know if Ryan ever was able to get anything off the, because we did like an EVP. We recorded all of us saying, like, you know, my name is Veruca. What is your name? You know, why are you here? What are you doing? Why are you hanging out? Like, do you still have unfinished business? Things of that nature. But there was just, honestly, during the day, there was so much background noise, and there were birds, and you could hear people in the restaurant, and you could hear construction that was happening right down the road. And so I'm not sure if we were actually able to hear any voices. Yeah, it was completely contaminated.
Yeah.
Like, every 2 seconds, Brian was like, you know, contamination, birds, or whatnot. And so I don't know if we ever heard anything from that, but that was another situation when I was, like, going up the stairs, and I just, like, felt anxiety. And I felt better to be out of the room and not to be in the area. And then we got to dine in the restaurant, and they had just phenomenal Mexican food. I mean, we're in Mexico, so I would hope that we would have good Mexican food in Mexico.
Right. That would only be par for the course, you would hope, anyway. So
I would hope,
you said,
yeah.
You know, you're a world traveler and stuff like that, and you've been to Paris even.
Yeah.
Have you been to other countries, like, say, the Grand Cayman, or, I mean, the Dominican Republic, or anything like that, where you walk out or walk into some place and you're just like, whoa. There's just like a lot. I know you probably felt that way in New Orleans, because I believe in New Orleans there's more spirits walking around than there actually is living, you know, people.
New Orleans
at least
has
I got
rich history
feeling.
With that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So have you felt that way in any of your other, like, stops or destinations that you've been to?
I don't honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, but it also might have been a situation where I was just so engrossed in everything else. I definitely think, like, especially being on that cruise, you're more sensitive to it because you walk in to it with more of an open mind, and you realize, like, this might happen. But kind of in everyday life, I think you can get so clouded and so busy with other things that, I mean, something might be happening right in front of you, and you just completely bypass it because you're kind of engrossed in your own thing.
Yeah, your own little
for
world,
sure.
Right. And, you know, the thing that people always ask me, like when they find out what I do and you know, that I'm a paranormal investigator or whatever, they're always asking me stuff like, you know, is it just at night that the spirits come out? No, it's not. It's all the time. Spirits can be right on you and you don't even know it all day long. It's because you, just like you said, it's so busy during the day. There's so much going on. There's so much out, you know, just noise. Background noise and cars and airplanes and there's no damn way you could really even focus on even hearing a spirit or even noticing they're there during the day. That's why at night you get so much, you know, of the actual investigations going on at night. So during the day, that's why I was kind of like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of noise and a lot of people. And, you know, I just didn't even want to do it because I get frustrated trying to do EVPs and then there's shit like that going on. Poor Brian, he was probably going, ugh, knowing how he is, you know, because he loves it as much as, you know, as much as I do anyway. And, you know, he's really good at what he does, and he's got a great personality to go along with it. So I'm sure that was a pretty cool experience with him at Rose Hall. But, you know, I've seen your pictures, and they're amazing. And there's locations that you like to be photographed. Where do you think is your favorite place that you've been and photographed so far? Because I know you're not even close to being done. You're just getting started. So, so far,
oh, goodness.
Where's your favorite location?
So far. So far as places I've done photo shoots, there's actually, even like just locally, there is this just brilliant, brilliant, he's so incredible, and he's such a nice guy, and he just recently like totally got me out of a jam also, so I just think he's phenomenal. There's a photographer named Lincoln Mark Leaf, and he works with his wife, Melissa Grant as well, and they do stylizing and they do the photography and editing, and all of it is completely on point. I mean, they're brilliant as a couple, and I love them to death. And they actually work out of a studio in Vancouver. They work out of Wild Vision Studio, and that's just a really beautiful place to be photographed. I've actually I've done a little bit of modeling work just in the Dominican Republic, and then I've done, I think honestly, some of the most beautiful pictures that I've taken so far were in the rainforest and Maui as well.
Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah, I was fixing to say.
Yeah, Hawaii's not a bad
I've never
place.
Been, but yeah, but Hawaii is like, wow, from all the pictures that I've seen, my mom and dad went a long time ago, and they said it was absolutely beautiful then, and one of my ex-girlfriends actually said something about a rainforest too, because I think she did some kind of a zip line naked through the rainforest, and she said it was absolutely amazing. So I'm like, all right. Yeah. So that sounds kind of like something that you could get into is in the rainforest, you know, taking a couple of shoots out there. It'd be kind of cool.
I've just done the one so far in Maui, but I mean, I'm sure that at some point I'll end up, I think, what, I've been to, like, three rainforests in the last year, which is, it was something on my bucket list just to go to one, so the fact that I've actually been able to go to a couple is brilliant.
No doubt. That's
great.
I've
been on my bucket list.
You know, your bucket list is going to be knocked out pretty quickly, because you've got your system down, and, you know, I'm like, damn it, man, she's got her shit way more together than I did at that age, but... You know, we had a great time while I was in Portland. I want to tell you that Portland, I mean, yeah, Seattle is beautiful and stuff, but, I mean, I was, like, right there at Vancouver and Portland, and it was freaking just as beautiful. Awesome. The people are just too cool. The photographer that we actually did the photo shoot with, yeah, David, oh, man, that guy was so fun. And they said if he giggles, that means he gets a good shot. And I'm like, damn, he's giggling a lot. And they're like, yeah, he's getting some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, those pictures turned out amazing.
Didn't they, though? And people were like, damn, I had to do a double take. And a friend of mine goes, I told my husband that was you. And I said, look at this picture and tell me who it is. And he's like, I have no idea who those people are. And he said, that's Lena. And he goes, get the hell out of here. Give me that phone. And so... It was crazy, you know. It was really fun to play Al Capone, and I can't believe they slit your throat, but it looked really cool. And
it looked so good, especially in those pictures. It was absolutely amazing. Like, I've literally been walking up to people and being like, do you want to see a really cool picture of me being murdered? I mean, that's a fun statement.
You know, Z looked pretty natural with that cigarette hanging out her mouth and that damn knife at your throat. That kind of was scary. I was like, damn, girl, you're getting into that part a little bit much. You're kind of making me nervous. But you did good as a dead girl on the couch, too. So, that was really fun, though, and I can't wait. I'm looking right now at my wife has given me a choice. Either I can go to Mexico for 7 days and not have as great of a time as I could have doing three trips up there to the Pacific Northwest. So I said, I'll take the three trips up to the Pacific Northwest. So I'm looking to come up there and we can do another one, hopefully, with David,
for sure.
Because that would be a blast. But, you know, you have other things going on besides – you also you love to cook, from what you were telling me. So what's up with that? I mean, damn, you can cook too. So
yeah,
tell everybody about that.
I actually have a culinary degree from the Culinary Institute of America, well, the Baking and Pastry Arts degree more specifically. And so that's what my associate's is in. And then I have a bachelor's in business. And then my master's, I'm actually starting that in 2 weeks now, a little bit over 2 weeks. And that'll be a MBA. So
wow.
I like going to school.
You're
going to
be busy with schoolwork. You're going to have some homework, girl.
Oh, I know for sure I will. And my dad is actually doing the same program because we're going to the Western Governors University. And the way that they run it is that you pay for each 6 months. And so if you really just, you know, no sir grindstone, you're just so serious about your schoolwork, if you finish all of your course load, because there's a minimum amount of courses you have to take, but not a maximum, like a limit. And so you can take literally every course. If you can take every course and pass it in 6 months, you just got your master's in 6 months. And so with somebody like me, who is as dedicated as I am to really the majority of things that I get involved in, I'm taking this as a really big challenge, because if I can finish it in the 6 months, then it's much, much cheaper than if I continue and have to take out more loans for the following 6 months. And when I spoke with my father earlier, since he's doing the same program, the person who's more or less his mentor for the college told him that if him and I finish at the same time, and he's a semester or about a semester ahead of me currently, if we finish at the same time, we can actually fly to the same area and walk across the stage together. And graduating with my dad would just be such an awesome experience. And now I have another motivator on top of everything else.
Golly, that would be kind of cool, man. I mean, some people are close to their parents, but I noticed that you really, when you were talking to me on the cruise, that you and your parents are really close, and
yeah.
You know, your family's pretty tight. So that's, I love that, you know. You know, my dad was kind of, he didn't know how to really deal with girls and stuff like that, but I think it's really cool that you and your dad are so close. You know, I kind of envy you on that a little bit jealous of that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I lucked out. I hit the parenting jackpot. It's like my mom literally would do anything in the world. Like, she once finished a phone conversation with me by saying, "Okay, now you go be awesome." I'm like, "Okay, I will." Like, I could literally tell my mom, "Hey, mom, I'm gonna quit my job. I'm gonna stop working. I'm gonna be a professional hobo. That's what I've decided I want to do. I just want to be a homeless person professionally." And my mom would just go, "You know what? You're gonna be the greatest hobo. You're gonna be such a good homeless person. You have no idea." Like, immediately she would be on board and just think that I would do the greatest at it. And then my dad is like insanely supportive. The first boudoir shoot I did, I messaged my mom and I was like, "Hey, just so you know, I did this photo shoot. It's with a very well-renowned photographer. It is lingerie, but this, I'm an adult and this is what I want to do, and I'm taking this very seriously." And I just went to her, you know, adult to adult, as parent, as opposed to like parent and child, and I was like, "This is what I want to do. So here, now you know." And I showed her a picture, and I mean, it was really classily done, so it wasn't anything that she was concerned about. She goes, "Okay," she goes, "but tell your father." And I'm like, "No, I can't." I'm like,
don't make me do that.
I'm like, "I'm not there yet." And so my mom's like, "Well," she goes, "I know now." And she goes, "So if your father asks me and is like, 'Hey, did you know that she's doing this?' I don't want to tell him that I knew and then I didn't tell him." She's like, "So to keep me out of trouble, you need to tell him." So I'm like, "Okay, well, let me think about it." Because I was going to. I just need to work myself up to it. And because it's different with lingerie modeling and your dad, it's a whole thing. And so I got a message from my mom like 10 minutes later, and she goes, "It's done." And I go, "Well, what do you mean it's done?" And she goes, "I sent the picture to your dad." And I'm like, "Why would you do that?" And she goes, "Because now it's done." She goes, "Now the worst thing that has happened, that could possibly happen, has happened." She goes, "You're invincible." She goes, "Your family knows, your family supports you." She goes, "Now you can go do anything and you don't have to worry." And I'm like, okay. And so now my dad follows me on Twitter. My mom follows me on Facebook. And my dad will text me and be like, "Just so you know, I feel like I have to bleach my eyeballs." And I'm like, then stop following me. Then don't follow my posts.
Right.
I can see that would be hard if being a dad, you know, and being all protective of your little girl, and then you see your little girl a little bit more than you would think you would gonna see your little girl. But the thing is, your photos, even though, you know, there's a little bit missing, as far as clothing, they're done with class. They're not nasty. They're not disgusting.
No,
they
and
always
and they
have
never,
taste.
Yeah, I don't want trashy pictures, honestly. I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm going to be like, oh, shit, if my dad sees this, I'm going to have to do, like, damage control. And so really, as long as everything stays the way that it has thus far, then I'm pretty much good to go. Like, I'm very happy with the way things are going. I have amazing shoots. Like, even my shoot that's lined up for tomorrow with Charles Parks, and he's down here in California. I spoke with my dad about it earlier. I'm like, yeah, I'm in California. I'm really excited because I'm going to do this body painting shoot. And my dad goes, that's more naked stuff. And I go, yeah, but I'm covered in paint, and it's fine. Like, I have to kind of, and he's like, you're an adult. And he goes, but I just think that, like, what if you need to get back into the industry after all of this? And he means, like, for, like, baking and pastry and stuff. And I honestly, I don't know.
I don't think it's going to bother anybody.
Especially in Portland.
It's not going to hinder your pastry making, I can promise you that.
No. I'm like, I think
if anything
okay.
else,
but
it might sell a few more cupcakes. You never know. You know?
I mean, I could do something really adorable as far as, like, I don't know, maybe I'll do, like, bachelorette party stuff and, you know, like fun novelty things. Like, there's a market. And honestly, if I build myself up enough doing what I'm doing currently, I will be able to open up my own place. People won't be able to tell me yes, no, or indifferent. So really, I just have to knock this out of the park, and then everything else should come free. Pretty easy peasy, I think.
You know, you were talking about the Dominican Republic and your company. And so tell us a little bit about the Cigar Angels, because, you know, I know you're a part of that, and you go and do events and stuff. So tell everybody what the Cigar Angels are.
Okay, so the Cigar Angels is this fantastic group of beautiful women. And every one of them is, like, smart as a whip, too. Amazing people I'm very fortunate to be able to work with. And so it's basically a group of women who enjoy cigars. And so companies will hire us for, like, Christmas parties, or will hire us for celebrations, golf course events, things of that nature, charity events, personal parties, just really any kind of special event that you might have that would, you know, deem cigars necessary. And Ruth and I have actually been sent down twice now to learn how to hand roll cigars. Ruth has been there 3 times. I've only been twice. But so we both know how to take tobacco leaves from just straight leaves and then go through every process and turn them into a cigar. We've spent several weeks at one of the factories. So the Cigar Angels, you can hire rollers to do that, since a few of us are trained in cigar rolling. And then the rest of us can do cutting, lighting. We do cigar tasting, cigar pairings on occasion with different beverages. So it's just really versatile. And it's a classy, I love being a part of it, because it just kind of, it adds one more facet. Because you see somebody and you're like, oh, you know, they do this, but what else do they do? And I can come to them and be like, I can roll cigars. I am a classically trained pastry chef. I do laundry modeling. I've come out with a book. I'm about to have my master's degree, so I don't ever want to be boring.
Well, you're not a boring chick. That's exactly what I was fixing to say. You're never boring. Your posts and stuff are always, they're either funny or they're like straight to the point or whatever, but you don't mince words, and I love that too. I think that has something to do with the color of your hair. Because every redhead I've ever known has no problem telling how the cow ate the cabbage, not one problem whatsoever, and never have a problem mincing words. So that I think has to do with your your red hair. But
very strong will
about your book.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's now I want to tell the audience. Now this is of an adult nature book, and so we're going to talk a little bit about it and kind of explain the funny part of how this all came to be. So tell everybody, since you're a newly published author, the name of the book and kind of what it's about.
Okay, so in my line of work, people kind of take the liberty and assume that just because I am naked and partially naked in a lot of my pictures, that I would also thoroughly appreciate seeing them partially naked in my inbox. And so I get an insane, I'm like just very, you know, calculated about all of this. I get an insane amount of inappropriate pictures, you know, more commonly known as dick pics, filling my inbox, and it's a daily thing. Like, it's never, like, I've never woken up one day in my life and been like, I hope my inbox is full of dicks. Like, I've literally never said that. And yet, every day, it's like a consistent, horrid surprise. Like, I'll open up my inbox and it'll be like, blah, 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 has sent you a picture. And I'm like, of course he did. Because why wouldn't he? And so then, I mean, and before it was just a little bit, you know, like I would see it and I would be like, oh, that's unfortunate. And then I would block them and continue on with my day. But I was in a situation. I was in a situation
where
I'm like,
that's funny.
You know,
oh,
you know,
that's unfortunate.
But like, oh, that's unfortunate. But so, you know, I'm not really one to miss an opportunity or waste an opportunity. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm like, there's money in this somehow. Like, there's a business idea here somewhere. And so I started collecting all of these pictures. And so my hard drive is a hot mess right now. But I started collecting all of these pictures. And I turned it into a coffee table book where one page is a dick pic and then underneath it has some kind of commentary based on the camera angle or the emojis surrounding it for some unknown freaking reason or the color filter. I don't know. I mean, at least they're going a little bit above and beyond. It's not a straightforward picture. There was some thought put into it, but not so much thought that they were like, oh, this is a terrible idea. So the picture still happened. So my book is called A Cockumentary, The Art of the Dick Pic, and it's actually going to be a one of three because I've already named the other two, and I just like really fun title. So,
oh,
yeah,
God.
That was my fun business idea.
That's where your business degree comes in, is the cockumentary. And let me tell y'all, you know, being me, I guarantee to you that I've never woken up, not one damn day, and goes, woo, I've got an inbox full of dicks. Wee, I'm excited.
Yeah.
That would not,
what a great day.
That would not excite me. And I don't know why people think that women, even if, you know, I had dancer friends, you know, not because they wanted to be dancers, but they made damn good money at it. And they, you know, would get dick pics all the time. And like you were saying, you cracked me up when you said, like, some are awe-inspiring and some, not so much. And they would, you know, they would get the same things you got. I mean, you know, Photoshopped, you know, filters used, you know, I don't know. But it just cracks me up because that's just a little over the top for me to, you know, think, oh, I think I'm going to send a picture of my twat, you know. I think I'm going to go ahead and send a picture of my stuff to somebody and see what they think. Well, no, you know.
Yeah,
but it's funny that you did that, you know. I mean, hell, what a great idea. Might as well use them.
I looked at the situation. I'm like, well, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So when life gives you, like, a bunch of dick pics, you should make a book. Like, I wasn't going to miss out on something potentially amazing. And honestly, I think it's going to do really well. I think people see the humor in it. I think it'll be a hit at, like, you know, bachelorette parties. I think there's definitely a certain community that'll enjoy it. And then actually a couple people have, once they message me and they're like, hey, you know, did you use my picture for the book? I'm like, yeah, don't send it. Don't send it if you don't want it. I mean, I'm not including names or anything. I'm not heartless. But it needs to come to a point where there's some kind of repercussion. There needs to, because right now it's a situation where you can send this picture And best case or worst case scenario, they block you and whatever, you never hear from them again. But best case scenario, who knows? The possibilities are endless. And they need some kind of negative reinforcement. But, I mean, it's kind of taken its own turn where the one person found out that their picture was in this book, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I need to buy a copy of that. And I was like, why? And they're like, because it's published now. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this – I mean, so it might honestly – it might totally backfire, but – at the end of the day, I'm happy with what I came up with. I think it's quirky and fun, and I think there is definitely a market for it.
Well, yeah, and I think that, like I was telling you, you know, I have a lot of gay guy friends that would love to have this for Christmas or whatever, and they could give to their little girlfriends and their whatever, their little straight girls that hang out with them and all this stuff. I mean, I told you, it's going to go great in the you know, the gay men community, because, I mean, what a great coffee table, you know, conversation starter they would have laying on their table when their friends come over, and they're like, what the hell is this, sweet? So,
oh my
it's
goodness.
Really,
and,
it's funny.
And I actually got an artist to do the cover art for it. His name is Belk, and he's amazing. And I had the idea, and I was like, because I was laying in bed one night, and I'm like, what am I going to do for this cover, because you can't just put that on the cover. Like, that's not gonna, you know, be able to be posted a lot of places, and you kind of just have to find a broad market and a broad place to advertise that. So you can't just have, you know, anything obscene just right there on the front page. So I was thinking,
right,
like, what am I gonna do? And so I was like coming up with all these great ideas for the second and third book cover, but I couldn't think of the first one. And then I was like, it's art. I'm like, I want to do a still life, but, like, in the bowl of fruit, I want it to look like two apples and a banana. Like, I want it to obviously be what it is, but I still want it to look like art. And so the artist actually came up with this beautiful water or pencil drawing of basically the phallic. It's very phallic, but it's just made out of fruit, and it looks like a still life, and it's beautiful. He did a great job with it.
So they won't be able to really, like, a person could walk by it and not be able to tell it. That's exactly, except looking at the name of it, which is great. And that, coming up with cockumentary was just, like, that's just brilliant in itself. Because, you know, I mean.
I like plays on words.
Yeah, and it does really well. And it's so funny because I was telling a friend of mine about it, and I don't know if he was joking or not, but he's like, oh, shit, am I in there? And I'm like, I don't know. Oh, fuck.
Did
my wife
send
will kill
me.
And I'm like, did you send her a dick pic? You know, that would answer one question right there. I mean, if you sent the dick pic, they can do whatever they want to with it. You sent it to them, so there you have it. You're giving them full permission, so let's hope that, you know.
Not only
it's
that,
not
but
very,
it's like, there's
noticeable.
Unless you're doing like a side by side lineup, like unless we have like, you know, like you directly next to the picture. I mean, a lot of these, unless you directly point yourself out and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, that's me, and I'm in this book, and I'm so embarrassed. You don't want to be embarrassed and kind of just don't call attention to itself, because I think part of the problem is every male is like, oh no, this one's different, this one is better than all of the other ones, and so there's like a whole book basically proving that wrong. It's like, no, it's the same, it's all the same,
they're all the same.
Nobody's,
and like you
nobody's
said,
impressed.
Some are awe-inspiring and some are just scroll past, you know, like,
yeah,
aw,
some
too bad,
for
poor
my
guy
book, but that's, yeah, I don't know. My one friend messaged me, because when I first decided to do this book, my friend Sandy, she models sometimes as well, and she, I know, just gets like a plethora of them as I do. And so I messaged her and I was like, hey, so this is my plan, this, that, and the other. Do you have any pictures you can send me? Because I don't know why, but at first I thought I wasn't going to have enough. I don't know why I underestimated human nature. But she was like, oh, you know what? She goes, I have some. She goes, but I just cleared out my inbox within like the last 2 days, so let me see what I have. I was like, okay, perfect. Whatever you have. And I was figuring like 35, something like that. She sends me 36 in 2 days.
Wow.
And she's not, yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, that filled up quite a few pages real quick, but it's just, I have no words for the fact that that even
happened.
The
ones that you were showing me, I was like, oh, you know, it was so funny, and I was like, I can't believe people really do this. I mean, you know, I've been married for almost 20 years, so I don't get a plethora of women sending me photos, you know what I mean? So, But you doing that is just, like, brilliant, the whole thing. But so you said, two books that are going to come out, like, as a series off of this, which, because you have so many of these unsolicited dick pics. So what else do you have as far as plan? I know that the Vixens want us to, you know, shoot with them again because they had so much fun with us that they were like, we got to do that again. So I know we'll be doing a couple of things with the Vixens, but what else do you have, like, planned for 20, you know, this year? I mean, my God, you've got so much stuff going on that just goes crazy.
So this year, what I want to continue to do, so I had my resolution for this year was to go to the last four states, that I need to go to, and I've been to two of them so far. And so with the remaining 8 months, I have to go to Alaska and Kentucky. So then I've been to all 50 states and those are done. And then it's also my goal to go to 5 different countries this year. And I actually only have, after I'm going to Italy next month, and so then after that, I only have one more to schedule. And so I've actually been costing out how much it is to go to Russia, because in the grand scheme of things, I have a goal that, because I'm big on bucket lists and goals, apparently, I have a goal that I want to go to 50% of the world before I turn 50. And I did a little bit of research, and as far as land mass is concerned, Russia is 11.4% of all the land mass. So if I go to Russia, I just crossed off 20% of my goal. And then plus all the other places that I've been, I might get there before 30. And then past that, who knows, because I'm crossing off bucket list items kind of left and right now. I need more.
Wow. I'm telling you, if y'all haven't figured this out now, this woman she's on a mission, she has a plan, and she is,
I'm focused.
And you haven't even gotten to your goal time, and you've already beat, I mean, it's not even freaking really, it just now turned, what, May, so you have already kicked ass, and it's not even 6 months into the year. So, God almighty, you know, I can't imagine what you're going to do. But you've got so many followers on your, you know, Facebook page. And so, you know, tell people how they can find you and how they can get your photographs and how they can get the documentary and all that stuff so that they know where to get all this stuff from you.
Well, my central site, and I actually have a webmaster working on that today, so it's down for this moment, but please bookmark it. It'll be back up in a couple hours, is verucadulce.com. And then also I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, but I'm not really great at Twitter. I just don't see the point. And I have a store envy, and on my main page, and then also on my fan page, I have links to my store envy, so you can get prints, you can get posters. I just came out with posters 2 days ago. The book is featured there as well, and then the following two books will be there once I finish those. I don't have a deadline for myself yet on that, since I just came out with the other one. And then on Facebook and my fan page, I always post, like, I'm doing this, or here's where I'm at as far as traveling, so definitely kind of fun if people want to keep up with me. And it'd be really cool because actually I think today I'm going to reach just on my fan page by itself 28,000. And then my Facebook, I'm super excited to reach another milestone. And then my Facebook has 10,000 and my Instagram has almost 6, I think. But I mean, I had a huge goal for the end of June, and so I really have to get on it. I kind of got wrapped up in other things and not social media, and so I didn't end up I didn't end up advertising kind of as much as I originally thought I was going to for the first couple months of the year, so I have some catching up to do, but, I mean, I'll figure it out.
Well, so are you still, just real quick, are you still at helping out at Murder, Inc. up there in Portland, or
yeah.
Are you kind of, are you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, no,
I'm
doing.
So everybody needs to go check you out up there, too, every once in a while.
Yeah, I work at Murder, Inc. I check in when I'm there, so it'll show up on their page. It'll show up on mine. If you choose to follow me, and please do, because that would be super awesome. And, yeah, so I work at the front desk. I do a lot of their business and things. They accept walk-ins. They have 8 amazing artists right now. And so we can always book you an appointment. Phenomenal place, super talented artist. I've gotten work there done recently, actually. And then I have a few more projects that I'll be working on with them as far as tattoos as well. So, yeah, check us out at Murder, Inc. It's on Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland, Oregon.
And Portland, you guys, is so badass. I'm not kidding. I got friends that live, like I said, right there across the river in Vancouver, Washington. I've got people that live in Seattle. I've got, you know, friends now in Portland. And I had a blast while I was there. I can't wait to get back. And so when I do get back, I am going to have downtime. We will have time to go hang out, not just do the photo
shoot.
Yeah. You know, so I look forward to that. But I wanted to thank you for, you know, last time I know we had a little miscommunication or whatever, and I apologize to everybody for that. I hope that you've all tuned back in and listened to this, because Veruca is really a cool chick, and she's got some really cool pics, so go and check her out, and thanks so much for scheduling time with us. I know you're, like I said, you're a very busy girl just like me.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Totally fine. I'm really glad to do this. And I do apologize for last week. I apparently have no idea how time zones work. But I figured it out this time.
Yeah, you sure did. I mean, I made sure that she knew and she had set an alarm. So we had this down pat, and I appreciate it. But just hang with me real quick, and I'm going to tell them a couple of things, and then we'll end the show. But before I go, I want to thank my newly acquired sponsors, the Vixens of Horror out of Portland, Oregon, and my brother, Syntex Roof Systems in Waco, Texas. They are doing a lot right now because we had some hail here the other day, and yesterday, actually. So if you need anything with your roof, Syntex Roof Systems in Waco, Texas. Also, I will be in Tyler, Texas, April 22nd and 23rd. I speak at 9 a.m. We're going to talk about doppelgangers and astral projection. And then in May 15th, I'm going to be in Lexington, Kentucky, where you need to go for your last date at the Waverly Hills. So if you can make it, we'll talk about that. But May 15th, we'll be at Waverly Hills. So everybody, please join me. Next week, I'm going to take the week off. I need to work on my presentation, so we might have to replay this same show right here. The week after that, we're going to have Peter Havlin with me. We're going to talk about cold cases and missing people. Give us a listen. Everybody have a great week. Veruca, have a nice week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, peace out.